Welcome to Leading Ladies Podcast. Hello, everyone. Leading Ladies Podcast is where we empower women worldwide with thought-provoking content and interviews. I'm your host, Renee L. Page, and this is my co-host, Joel Ruiz. I said it good.
Hello.
I rolled.
Hello, rolled.
Joel.
Hello.
Today, I'm excited. Today, we have on the show, leading lady, Abby Kay. Hello, Abby Kay. I'm well. I'm blessed. I'm well. Yes. So, Abby Kay is an independent, hard-rocking recording artist from Charlotte, North Carolina. She is known for her impeccable skills as a bassist, vocalist, and songwriter. She started playing the bass guitar at the tender age of 13 after attending a KISS concert, in which she was heavily inspired and influenced by Gene Simmons. Within months, her musical journey led her to being selected as three bassists in the entire United States to attend Grammy Camp in Los Angeles, California. She has released 8 singles, including the release of her song 90 Degrees Celsius, and is currently working on her debut album. Abby Kay is booked for a 30-date tour this summer. Let's welcome Abby Kay to the show.
Hey, Abby.
Abby Kay, girl, you are killing it. Killing it.
Killing it.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. I had a chance because I'm into the jazz because it calms my nerves. But your song, I thought I loved you. That was a good song. I thought that I loved you. Yeah, that was a good one. Yes.
So yeah, some really good ones in there. I listened to some too. I was like, okay. I'm like, I feel this. I'm like, I like this.
I pour my heart and soul into every song that I write. So that's good to know that others like them too.
Yes. I wish I had that song maybe like 20 something years ago, because I would have sent it to somebody as a serenade. Yes. So I wish I had that then. So,
yeah.
So I love the music. So like I said, you're killing it. So Abby Kay, tell us about yourself.
So like you said, I'm a hard rock bassist, vocalist, songwriter, originally from Charlotte, North Carolina, but I just relocated to Nashville. I've been here about 6 months now, and I have just been busting my butt 12 hours a day. I do everything myself. I'm my own manager, booking agent, tour manager. So I've really just been kind of pounding away at sending emails, booking shows, and that's led us to now we're going on our first headlining tour. We actually leave in like 12 hours.
Okay.
So
wow,
all packed, van is ready to go. And it's kind of like, I feel like everything is on a 5-year delay of like, everything hard work pays off 5 years after you put on that work. So I'm now on year 5 of my musical journey, and I'm just now able to say like, it's kind of coming together. It's kind of happening. So that's where I'm at right now with my career, but it's taken a long time and a lot of hard work to get here.
And can I ask something, Abby? Like, so that means you started very, very young. I mean, obviously at 13, but you know, you started like the grind very, very young. And like, can you just share with us? Because I have FOMO. If someone invites me to dinner, I'm like, oh my God, I have to go. I have so many responsibilities, but I got to go, you know? And of course, being your own manager and your own person, that moves you forward. And you seem like a very dedicated person, hence where you are right now. How do you handle like work-life balance, and like how much do you put into your work rather than your social life?
So it has honestly been really difficult. And I think in the past 5 years, I feel like I've gone through 5 different stages of it. You know, I started in 8th grade and I kind of just isolated myself from the world and I focused on 100% the music. But I slowly learned that a music career is about 10% music, 90% than networking, business, PR, distribution, the business side. So now I think I'm definitely more focused on the business side, but I never forget to keep up the music, of course, because that's the reason that we're doing all the work.
Yes.
And now, I mean, I'm in Nashville, so there's Broadway, a strip of bars, honky tonks here. It's a tourist trap, but I play on Broadway about 20 to 40 to 60 hours a week, depending on the week. Just playing bass and singing. So I'm still getting the music part, playing shows, getting my name out there. But I mean, like tonight, I'm going to play till 3 a.m. on Broadway, and then I leave for tour a few hours after that. So it's definitely a lot. My social life is not all that great because I'm spending all my time playing music or sending emails in my room, but it really doesn't bother me that much because it's something that I'm so passionate about. And then when you get the positive results that you're looking for, it just kind of reassures you that you're spending your time the right way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I see that you just got verified. Congratulations.
Yes.
Hey. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. That was so exciting. I cried when I noticed that I was verified because I was playing a show and then a girl came up to me. She was like, hey, type in your Instagram. I was like, okay. So I typed it in and I was like, what's going on there? I'm verified. When did that happen?
Wow. So, yeah,
I cried.
Amazing. Amazing. Yes. That's awesome. So organic too, right? It's like, I mean,
right. Yes.
Putting all this hard work and to see that little check mark, it's just like, all right, I'm in the right path.
Right.
So. That's incredible.
So I see you two are warmed up, but let's get some of my questions in there. So Abby Kay, because Joel and I debate about this all the time, so you're going to kind of settle a score. So are you an iPhone or Android girl?
iPhone.
Oh. Ding, 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 ding. Whatever. That's why our service is not working. That's why I look grainy right now.
Renee, that's your internet. That's your Spectrum internet.
So, okay, you're so busy. What is your morning routine?
Oh, my gosh. It really depends. I'm going through like different phases right now, like weeks at a time. Sometimes I'll like get up at 5 a.m., go to the gym, drink my healthy green smoothies, do my yoga on the balcony. And then there's other times where I'm playing a lot of Broadway shows, not going to sleep till like 5 a.m. That's what I'm going through right now. So I wake up at like 2 p.m., lay in bed all day, just sending emails. Like I'm still working, but I just very low energy. Try to take a shower every day, change.
Yeah.
I like when I'm productive and I'm organized and like clean and healthy. Like that's what I love. That's when I'm most like efficient. But sometimes just with like the work schedule that I have, like my energy is just so low. My sleep schedule is completely out of whack. I'm working till again 5 a.m. Yeah.
I get it. I work 12-hour shifts. Joel and I, we are busy. So if you're looking for sympathy here, Abigail, you're not going to get it. Because we're busy too. So matter of fact, I came from work. So I know the
house. Hey, I don't work till 5. So, I mean, I you guys get my sympathy, both of you guys. Renee just got off of work today at what, like 7 a.m.?
Me and Abby came. We do those big girl shifts.
You
do
you
those
guys.
Pump eight-hour shifts. We can. We can sit in, Joe. You need to work harder, Joe.
Right. I do get it though with the unpredictable schedule. I do love a routine, and I know it's healthy, right, to get yourself a good sleeping routine, workout routine, so forth. But with our business, especially with you as a performer and starting, it's so difficult to get yourself, you know, on your off days to get back on it, right? Mm-hmm. But you just keep going at it, and you keep working hard at it, and you move forward.
You sleep, you die. So, you know, we got work. But you got to sleep when you die. So right So what's the last book that you read? Well, I ain't had time, probably.
Oh, this is not... Yeah, it was probably in middle school.
Oh, gee.
Shame on you. The last novel she read was her emails.
Right. Like, growing up, like, I went to a very, like... I went to a charter school, so, like, it was filled with lots of smart kids. And, like, I was smart, I was educated, but I wasn't invested in my education because I was invested in my bass guitar.
Okay.
And so I just, throughout high school, that's, like, when I really started to take music seriously. I did the bare minimum. Like, to be honest, I did. And it's just, I think, like, being forced to, like, read books and take quizzes on them and, like, you had a reading schedule, like, it just... like killed my love for reading. And like before, I did enjoy reading. I would read all the time. But I think now that I'm out of school, it's probably something that I should get back into. Cause I feel like it's just a good idea to read, especially as a songwriter, being creative, learning stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, to tell you the truth, it was probably eighth grade. The last time that I truly read a book front to back.
Wow.
And that is okay. A-okay. You're doing other things, girl. So
Yeah. It's okay. I forgive you because you're doing other stuff. Because, you know, I'm an avid book reader. So I like to read. So, you know, I'm busy. I'll spend maybe 10 to 15 minutes reading something, maybe like 10 pages for self-development. That's for me. And it helps me with my day. Or I listen to it. So it's for me. It helps my day because I'm busy. So not much of a social life. So, you know.
I'm kind of a mixture between you two. I used to do that 10 pages a day, which I found very therapeutic and just good for my brain. Because nowadays you consume so much media with, you know, the computer or your phone, like this and that, mm-hmm. you know. And then networking and socializing, there's a little bit of drinking involved. So my brain cells are just like, so... you know, taking 10 minutes out of the day to read is amazing. Have I done it in the last few months? No, I haven't because I've been so busy, just like you, Abby. But the desire of wanting to read and open up a book and learn something, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, it's definitely there. And I just need to make a little time.
Joe's more of a social butterfly than I am. So Joe's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, can I call you back? Can't hear you. He's out on the status. Joe, we need to talk. No, I'm here with Willow. I can't talk. I'm like, okay. So, do you sing in the shower or in the car?
In the car. And it's not pretty singing because really the only place I ever go is to shows. So, it's always vocal warm-ups.
Okay.
So, I just put on like a playlist of vocal warm-ups that I found on Spotify, and I just turn it up. I'm singing my Mommy Made Me Mash My M&Ms. Yeah. But then if I'm just like, when we tour, obviously we have really long drives, we listen to some very interesting music because we just have to, like, after driving so much, you can only listen to your favorite songs enough times. So we definitely listen to some interesting music, and we like to, there's three of us and they're my two best friends. I love them dearly. But we like to say, hey, listen to this, and like make each other laugh and just find the stupidest music to listen to. So yeah, it's fun.
Okay. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song is probably Hallowed Be Thy Name by The Trooper. No, Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden, not The Trooper. The Trooper is my second favorite song.
Okay. So, I'm excited for what's going on with you as far as just everything. So, tell us what or who inspired you to get started in music?
So, I guess the real answer is the KISS concert that I went to when I was 12 or 13. And I was there with my dad. And my dad, he's not a musician. He's not in the music industry. But he's a huge rock music fan, which definitely helped. Because, you know, when I was first starting out, he would say, hey, listen to this band. Listen to this band. Listen to this song. And it just got me excited about it. I really got to bond with my dad over rock music, which is in my middle school years, that just made it a little bit better. So yeah, I guess a little bit of the Kiss concert, and then also my dad kind of just helped me stay with it and be excited about it.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Kiss. I remember Kiss. They were one of my favorites. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss fans. That's awesome. It's great when, like, especially like in older generations, media influences, you know, someone younger.
Yeah.
For me, I've always loved horror movies. So give me any, you know, 70s, 80s slasher horror. I'm all about. My grandma took me to see Scream when I was 4 years old. Isn't that crazy? Who takes a child, a baby, to go see Scream?
Please.
And ever since, right? And ever since, I mean, I have a Ghostface tattoo. Like, I'm a fan. And that's what propelled my love for movies and for movie making and for horror. So, I mean, it's the influence that one show, one movie, one moment in your life can have in your entire being. It's incredible, right? It's like, what if you never went to that concert? Life would have been so much different.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that life.
Now you said that your dad wasn't a musician, but is there anyone in your family that's musical or creative? Anyone in your family?
I think I definitely come from a family of, like, language and art focused more so than science and math.
Okay.
Like, my mom is just crafty and creative and kind of just that fun, bubbly person that a lot of artists and creative people are.
Okay.
So not necessarily exactly musicians, but definitely from the creative, artistic side.
Okay. Now, does she help you with anything? Because I know as a musician, you probably have props, your wardrobe. Does she help give you
inspiration? My mom, I could not do it without my parents. And I am so lucky because a lot of parents don't support their children in, you're going to go pack up, live in a van, play music. What is that?
Yeah.
For some reason, my parents support it. My parents encourage it.
Amazing.
And so if I need help with something like on the business side, like reading contracts, my brain cannot process. I'm like, Dad, help. What does this mean? And my parents have my back always. It is pretty much funded by myself and my band now.
Okay.
But like if we have to go to a hotel, I'm under 21. So my mom has to get it. My mom has to like stay up. A month ago, I was on the West Coast. My mom lives on the East Coast.
Okay.
She stayed up till 3 a.m. just to make sure that they would let me into the hotel because I was under 21. So I could not do it without my parents.
Right. And you shouldn't be. And you're not. I know you're not drinking because you're under 18.
No.
So, yeah. So you're having a Shirley Temple when you go with the band, right?
Look, yeah.
Hey, she's got to be on her A game. So, no, that's incredible. Like, that support.
So, yeah.
Now, I want to ask you about, you know, you spoke about your dad taking you to the Kiss concert. You being influenced by Gene Simmons, and then I saw that, of course, you got selected to go to Grammy Camp in L.A. Tell us about that whole experience and how that affected your musical career.
That was so incredible. I think I was 15 or 16, and I got to learn from Meghan Trainor. I got to learn from the bassist of Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was such an incredible weekend. And really before that, I didn't really know what I wanted to do in the industry. I had never written a song in my life. I really didn't know where I wanted to go with it. But Grammy Camp taught me what my options were in the music industry. There's so many different aspects and places that you can go. And I think it just kind of helped me figure out what I wanted out of this and what I wanted to do next. And then I started writing my own songs and then I became an artist. So I think it kind of just helped me figure out who I was.
So I'm curious, how did you come up with the name Abby Kay? Because I see it plastered on everything.
Right. So my name is Abigail. So people always call me Abby. And then Kay is just my last initial.
Okay.
When I started, I was 13, 14, and I was playing bars and I really didn't want creepy old guys knowing my full name. So I just picked a stage name. I don't think it's difficult to figure out what my name is. I mean, I feel like most people probably already know just by social media and my parents comment on everything. And it's not so, like, I don't necessarily have to hide it anymore because, I mean, I'm 19. It's fine. But it's just, it's what I branded myself with when I was that age. And so I'm just sticking with it.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't know if the K stand for kiss.
Oh, I didn't think about that. It should. It's like, you know, it could. That's awesome.
Yeah, because my name is Renee Page, but a friend added the L, so it's Renee L Page. So that's what Renee L is on everything. Uh-huh. Renee L Page. So I know how it is with your name.
So what does the L stand for, Renee?
Lorraine. Lorraine.
All right.
It's the old lady's name. It was my god.
No, it's a pretty name. Mine is, my middle name's Alessio, so it's Joel A. Ruiz, but I don't use the A. Just make it simple.
Yeah, it's from an old lady from my godmother, so don't tell anyone.
Secret sealed. Abby, let me ask you, I saw that you are an independent artist. Now, tell us a little more about that and why you chose to be independent rather than being signed or to a label or, you know, be managed by someone. Because that's a lot of work, right?
So. Yeah.
Right. I got signed at 16. I was signed to a management contract for 2 years. And then once it expired, I was planning on going to college and taking a break. Paid the deposit 2 days before I had to go. I was like, I'm not going to college. I'm moving to Nashville. So I just, you know, that management contract obviously expired, just ran out. I wasn't really planning on renewing it. And then I just realized nobody will work harder for you than you. And I just realized the more that I put into it, the more I was getting out of it. And when you have to have that line of communication between others, hey, will you do this? Hey, can I do this? Should we do this? What can we do here? It's just, it's such a long process. And if you can like kind of eliminate those steps and just get right to it, I'm seeing results a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, if I choose to work 16 hours a day here in my room, I can work 16 hours a day. And it's really just, it's all up to me. So now I just get what I put into it out of it.
Yeah. So you feel like you've gotten further without a management company.
Right. Because like I said, nobody will work harder for you than you. And it's just, I have complete control over my career now. I've added my two best friend musicians into the band. I live in a band house with them now. Like I have a lot of freedom. It's really all up to me. It's all up to us, whatever we decide. And I love having that freedom, especially so young, just to kind of figure out where we want to go with this. And while we're still learning, just it's the beginning. And so yeah. I think it's smart to just be on our own. And so that way we can figure out what we want to do.
Yeah.
They're handsome too, by the way. They're handsome. I mean, but they're too young for me, but they're handsome.
Well, I will tell them that you said that.
a beautiful band all together. So,
yes.
Go ahead, Renee.
Well, because my thing is, you said you manage yourself, and I saw that, so you play the bass guitar and you're self-taught, but there's other instruments as well that you taught yourself.
Right. So I actually started on guitar and then I quickly realized not my thing. So I say that when I literally still play guitar to this day. I play lots of shows on guitar, but it's just, I love playing bass. I don't know why. It just comes so naturally to me. It was kind of like an out of body experience. The first time I picked up a bass, I didn't even know what a bass was. I'd never seen a bass. I just knew exactly what to do. It was very, very strange, but an incredible experience. And that was kind of just like the start of it all. I picked up piano. I picked up drums. I never, ever wanted to become a singer. I was the most shy little girl ever on the planet. But in my middle school band, my first band ever. I was the only one that didn't sing. I was the only girl. Well, 7th, 8th grade boys, every week we were having to change songs because they couldn't sing that one anymore and they couldn't sing this one anymore. And then their voice kept cracking and I was like, okay, we're done. I'm going to sing. And so that's kind of when I came out of my shell and was like, okay, it's not terrible. I can do this.
So did that inspire your song, It Should Have Been Me? Because I know in the video, it's a younger girl. Did that inspire you, that song?
So that song was inspired. I auditioned for a band in maybe 2017, 2018, and they led me on for a really long time, saying, we're going to pick you. You're our best option. You are the best musician here. You're it. We're going to pick you. And then finding out, oh, they told me that. Why didn't they pick me? So that's where It Should Have Been Me came from.
I like it. Because I was like, she's too young. It's too young to be about a man.
No. I wrote the song when I was 15.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so, more important, a career. But hey, it's cheesy, and you say things happen for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So. Right.
So, Joe, you had something because you was almost out your seat getting ready to ask the question.
I know. I was like, you know, buzzing. It's also the coffee that I had. I'm a little like, you know, red in the face from it.
The coffee.
It's cold brew too, so I'm like shaking. I was gonna ask you about your tour. I mean, that's a lot of dates. That's a lot of places. That's very impressive. How did you manage to book so many venues? And is this your first tour? Like, it's your first tour, correct?
It's our first headlining tour.
Tell us how you feel.
I am so excited. I am so proud of myself. Like, no one did this for me. I've been on 3 tours before, and they were all booked by somebody else. And I was just the opener. I just got to go along. But I did this. Now it's my name on the marquee. And, like, I'm really proud of myself. And that's kind of a reflection of, I've put in work for 5 years, and now I can kind of see why I put that work in. And so it's really just like kind of a, I don't know. It's really amazing to see that I've just sat here in my bedroom. I just moved to Nashville with no friends here, nothing set up here. I just moved here and I just worked and worked and worked and worked. And now we have over 30 headlining tour dates. We're playing at fairs, playing at festivals. Wow. And it's really exciting.
Yeah. You ain't gonna get any sleep, so just wanna let you know. You tired.
Yeah, no. So we toured with Nita Strauss from Alice Cooper November to January, and we had some long drives. Yeah, we know the no sleep life. We sleep in the Planet Fitness parking lot in the van.
Wow.
Yeah. We're roughing it.
Not your first rodeo.
Abby K, I know. So I work 12-hour shifts, have stuff to do. Joe knows we have, you know, when you're in business and you're doing business and you're trying to go, it's no, like I said, it's no sleeping. And I meant that because you have to get it done. We got stuff to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I may take a nap. Sometimes I may take a nap sitting up in a chair. It's called a power nap.
Power nap.
That's going to last me for 24 hours.
Yeah, and my band and I, we have gotten so good at sleeping anytime, anywhere. I have some really crazy pictures of them. Like, we'll fall asleep in the weirdest places just because you have to sleep when you can. So, I mean, we usually spend most of our morning in a Planet Fitness parking lot, and we all have the passes. So we go in, we sleep in the bathrooms, just lock the door, just lay down for a little bit. Like,
oh, that is hilarious.
We sleep in the weirdest places.
So now they're going to be like, yeah.
That should be a blog.
Yeah. So they're going to be like, you guys, go check the bathroom. Abby Kay and her band's in the bathroom sleep.
Maybe we should beep the name out of the gym so they don't know which gym it is.
So anyway, I'll continue. So, oh my God, this is just so exciting. Because I actually, years ago, when I first got into the industry, I managed groups. artist in Baltimore, Maryland, and I felt like I was going to catch a case with managers. Yeah. I thought they was going to be taking me out somewhere with handcuffs and shows. So I had to get out of it. It was fun, but it was guys, and I had one girl, and I thought I was. And I mean, so I got out of it and got into film. So I understand, but I know that I worked hard for my group, the music group that I managed. So it was the opposite. And I think I worked harder than they did. I wanted more for them than what they did, you know,
right?
Because we were in Baltimore and I was like, come on, let's go to New York. Oh my God, I'm tired. Oh, come on, Renee. I'm like, do you want this? Like, oh my God, didn't you just work 16 hours? Yes, well, we got to go to New York. We got a show. So yeah. If I can work 6 hours, go home, get dressed, you meet me, we can hit the road and go to New York. But I realized that they did not want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what you mean by that, because I manage groups, but I worked harder than the groups.
So. Yeah. You definitely have to want it, because at this level, there's really no money in it. You're sometimes playing to empty bars, smoky bars. Like, it's not always the easiest lifestyle. So if you don't truly want it and truly love it, there's no sense in doing it.
Yep. So I get you. So you have, it is a sacrifice that is like, this is what I want. And like you said, it is that 5-year mark that you work. It's called, what is it? Sweat equity.
Yeah.
So it's, and I tried to always put them in positions. Like I was booking shows and I was so embarrassed because I would have to call them and be like, oh, they can't. And sometimes it got to the point where I had to put deposits because we canceled so much. So I had to explain that they're putting your name on there to open for someone. And they got to go and find someone else, and that's a space. So I started getting charged as a manager. And
yeah.
The response was, well, you're the manager. That's what you're supposed to do. So I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not. I can't. Because I'm going to be locked up. So yeah. I'm going to keep going. Joel said he'll be back. So what is the average day for Abby Kay like, and how do you balance it on the tour? I know it may be redundant, and I'm sorry if it is, but actually, you know what? That okay. So recording, writing, being away from home. So I know you talked about it, and we can fix it, but and I'm sorry I'm being redundant. I'm just excited.
No.
So like you said, I'm not gonna answer it, but how do you manage that, balance all that?
So on tour, it's pretty difficult because we're traveling in a van and trailer. So it's not like we have a tour bus with Wi-Fi and tables and a kitchen to, you know, do our work in. So it's pretty difficult, not going to lie. But we find a way to make it work. We haven't been able to record on the road yet just because in a van, I just don't know how that's humanly possible. But we are still, we'll take a guitar with us. We'll write if we have a day off. Actually, our title track of our upcoming album was written on our last tour in an Airbnb in Des Moines, Iowa. So, I mean, you never know what your day is going to look like. We could be sitting in the van in a parking lot all day on a day off, or then there's some days that we had a day off in San Antonio, Texas. And so we went to the Alamo and we went on the Riverwalk and went to this like guacamole table restaurant mm-hmm. thing. Like we have like this master list of all the good places that we've eaten at, in each city. So we do like to kind of adventure a little bit. So that way it's not just the same van, parking lot, venue, van, parking lot, venue. Because that gets really tiring really quickly. So if we can still have a little bit of fun with it, make those memories, it just makes things a lot easier.
Okay. So your best friends, they are childhood friends that you grew up with, right?
No. So these two boys, Diego and Zach, I met them on social media, actually. And we're from all over the country. And then we just moved here, met in Nashville, and now we all live together.
Wow. Okay. And so they were mom and dad approved before all this happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're very good boys. They don't get our band into trouble, which is good. Easy to work with. Usually, I mean, if I have to say, hey, boys, can you stop making that same stupid joke over and over again? I mean, they don't usually stop, but sometimes they will, which is nice.
Guys, boys. You have sisters, right?
Yeah. No, I have a sister, but...
Oh, okay.
No, I've lived in a van with these two boys. Oh, my gosh. They've tested my patience quite a lot. I love them. They're like my brothers, but... Boys are annoying.
Yeah, I have a son. And Abby Kay, Corey is what, 34? You know how many times I'm in LA, he's in Baltimore. You know how many times I'd be like, who you talking to? Or wanting to book a flight and go home? So, yes, I have a son. Annoying. Yes, very annoying. So I know. And I had a brother. So you're right. Boys are annoying.
Yeah, they make the same jokes over and over and over and over, and they don't know when to stop. And then I'm like, boys, you need to stop.
And and they think it's funny, right? And it gets funnier, right?
Right. And the more frustrated that I get with them, and I'm like, Diego, Zach, shut up. They think it's funny because I'm reacting to it. It's just an endless cycle.
That's boys for you. So, as they grow up, it'll get a little bit better. So if you didn't become a musician, what would you be doing right now?
I would be in outer space. Oh. 1,000,000%. I have always wanted to be an astronaut. That was my, like, as a child, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to go to outer space.
Wow.
Is that realistic? Probably not. It probably would have never happened. But is being a musician realistic? No, but I'm still making it happen. So, I mean, if I didn't play music, I would definitely, like, that's always been my dream. Either that or a pilot. I love, like, flying. I fly quite often in this career. So I love flying, I don't know, something in that industry.
So once you, because you'll be a billionaire soon, so you can join Richard Branson when they pay their money to go up in space. That's how you can do that, right?
I hope so.
So you'll be there. So you'll just write a check and you'll go up in space with the likes of Richard Branson and friends and probably, what's his name, Elon Musk. Yeah. And you can play for them up there. So what would you say has been your biggest challenge as a young female musician in rock?
Definitely my age and gender has been a setback because people don't always take young females seriously when you're in an industry full of old men. And there have been like certain shows that I haven't been able to book because people didn't take me seriously. People thought I was just a kid with a little hobby, which at first was true.
Okay.
I was a little kid with a hobby. In middle school. But then, I mean, I started professionally playing music at 16, but nobody really got that it was real. Like, this was my career. And so I think I was sometimes treated unfairly and judged because of my age and gender. And now it's actually gotten to the point where I used to send all my booking emails, Rock On Abby Kay. Well, now I send them all as Rock On My Dad's Name. And what sucks, I mean, it's good because I get more shows booked, but it sucks that I get a lot more shows booked putting my dad's name than my name.
Mm. So sometimes you have to use, what is it, Zach, your roommates, do you have to use your best friends to get in the door sometimes because they are guys?
Not so much now that I've turned 18, but definitely in the beginning, people would be like, hey, there's no girlfriends allowed back here. I'm not the girlfriend. I'm the band.
Yeah, I'm Abby Kay.
I'm the one who booked the show. I'm the one you've been talking to on the email for the past 6 months.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No girl.
I mean, it's allowed. There's been some crazy, crazy stories. And a lot of female in the rock music industry that I've talked to have similar things of like, hey, your girlfriend needs to get out. That's not my girlfriend. That's my boss.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's definitely been some stories like that. But I think now that I'm more involved in my career and I obviously I'm now an adult and not a kid, I think people take me more seriously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, I'm an independent artist. I do everything myself. But in all the emails, I say, hello, my name is my dad's name, and I represent the band Abby Kay. Rock on my dad's name, which is not true. It comes from me. All of it comes from me. Okay. But I get taken more seriously that way.
Okay. Now, have you ever thought about having your dad manage you?
I mean,
using his name.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be a terrible idea, but, like, I already do everything myself anyways. Like, I get it all done. Like, I don't know. If I didn't have these 12 hours of emails to send every day, I don't know what I would do with myself.
Okay.
Sounds like you're addicted to the work, Abby Kay.
Yeah.
Let's talk to my therapist. She's like, hey, wow, 12-hour days. I'm like, because I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Done. So out of all your released music, what is your most favorite song and why?
Pay Attention. That was my fifth single. That was my first single as an independent artist. And it was about becoming an independent artist. I wrote it the day after I turned 18.
Whoa.
And it was really just like a look out world, pay attention, here I am.
I love it. I love it. That might be one of my, we might use that as an anthem, Joel. Pay Attention.
I know.
Oh, goodness. So do you have anything burning to ask Joel before I finish with my questions?
I want to, well, I stepped out for a second, so I'm not sure of the flow that you guys had, but I do like your wall behind you. Can you talk to us a little about your space and like what inspires you? How do you get yourself in just like the rock and roll mindset? And yeah.
So this wall is my content wall. This is where I film all my bass covers, my TikToks, things like that. And it's really just like a collage of concert posters and memorabilia from my shows. I have some set lists from like my first ever shows. Any magazines that I've been in, I have those up on the wall. Wow. Show posters of mine. So it's just like a collage of things that I've collected over the years. And it just makes for like a cool video backdrop. And then to get in the rock and roll mindset, I call this the light switch effect. More so becoming Hannah Montana from Miley Cyrus. Obviously, my name is Abigail, and my stage name is Abby Kay. And I kind of like to differentiate those two people. And for me, it's usually when I put on the red lips, the leather boots, curl my hair, and like get ready. It's kind of like I'm stepping into a character, like getting ready. I did musical theater throughout like my school days, like getting ready for performance. And just like kind of embodying a different person.
Mm.
And so I think just like getting ready and like the red lips and the leather boots, that's what I've branded myself as. And so when that comes on, it's like a light switch flips and I'm Abby Kay. And I kind of have a different personality between who I really am and who I portray on stage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because my pseudo name, mine is Lacey. So that's a sassy older woman.
Lacey, I like it. I love it.
No, that's my Lacey.
You're so, all too young. Now, most of us are, I'm speaking for myself, would be terrified to go on stage in front of, you know, thousands of people and perform anything, let alone sing and pour your heart out into a performance. Do you feel like Abby Kay, that, you know, alter ego, that person, you know, which is still you, but that person, personality, I guess, is what helps you get through that fear and silence that voice in your head? Or do you have any other ways to like shut that down?
So honestly, I have no problem getting up on stage and singing. Like,
nice.
And that's so weird because growing up, I was super shy. I would not talk to anyone. I hated singing. I did not want any attention. And now, like, I kind of have the mindset of, my parents tell me not to say this because it sounds bad. And I don't mean it literally, but I just have to tell myself, I literally do not give a crap. Like, you can't care. I can't. If you don't ask for something, you never know if you're going to get it. So you can't care what they're going to say. So you have to go and ask. So what if they tell you no?
Yeah.
You have to put yourself out there and not care what the reaction is going to be. And that's kind of the mentality that I have. If I'm doing something big or that I'm scared about, you just have to be like, YOLO, let's do it. Yep. And you just do it. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. That's a good point. So do I get my shirt? Because you have merchandise. So do I get my shirt? You get that?
Yes. Start repping Abby K in LA. So people are like, who's that? We're like, oh, that's Abby K. You haven't heard?
It's Joel. Yeah. So you said ass. So I asked. So when you come to the store and then you send me one, because she has merchandise as well. So I want a shirt. So.
I love it. I love it. I want a shirt too.
When it's cold, I want one of the hoodies. So. But I like the reaction.
give her a finger. She takes the whole arm, Abby. See, now she's asking for hoodies and hats. See, at first she's a keychain. Now she's a shirt.
Oh, because of the hat. I like hats. So if you're going to send me the hoodie, send me the hat.
I love it. I love it.
So what's been the most memorable time on stage when you're performing? One of your most memorable?
So you guys are in LA. I'm sure you know the Whiskey A Go-Go, correct?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay. The Whiskey A Go-Go is one of the most iconic rock venues in the world. That's where like Guns N' Roses played, Motley Crue played, Alice Cooper has played there, Kiss has played there. And when I was on tour with Nita Strauss of Alice Cooper last November, we toured New Orleans to Los Angeles.
Mm.
And I got to play the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Mm.
And I almost cried on stage. And that is the only show that I've ever been nervous for. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, so many of my heroes have played on this stage. Who hasn't played on this stage? I was so nervous. And also, David Draiman, the singer of Disturbed, who's a really big rock band, he was there at that show. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Is he going to hear me? Like, I was freaking out. That was the most, like, I don't know. That one was huge for me because I've always dreamed of playing on that stage. That was a big milestone for me. And my parents, they were so proud that they were like, my parents live in North Carolina. They're like, we're flying all the way to LA for this one show because we will not miss this.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. So what did you do? Yeah. You just woosah and y'all, how did you get through? How did you just...
You just got to dive right in and just do it. If I think like, if I'm in the moment that I have to decide, am I too nervous to do this, which is not an option.
Yeah.
But am I too nervous that I'm going to go home and quit or am I going to do this? If you think, what have I done to get to this point? Am I really going to throw all that away? Like that just helps me say, okay, Abigail, go do it. You're fine.
Do this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Jump in the deep end.
Yep.
So now that you're building your fan base, you're getting your verified, how would you describe your fan base now?
It's actually, so it started out as like all old men when I was younger, which was really kind of
dirty old men. But
it makes sense because I play rock music and I love Kiss and Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're starting to market to young girls and I love that. Like, we just got our first batch of kid shirts in. They say future rock star on the back. The U is like the rock and roll horns. I love it. I love it so much.
That's cute.
And so I have a lot of like dads and daughters come to my shows now. I love it. Like, inspiring little kids, especially little girls, is just because somebody was that for me when I was younger. So I want to be that for the next generation.
Oh my goodness.
And we're going to a music school in Missouri on this tour. And we're doing a free clinic for all of the students there. completely volunteer basis because we just want to, like, if we can just inspire kids to keep going, and you can do things that people tell you you can't do. Because, I mean, you have no idea how many times people told me, you're a 16-year-old girl, you're not going to play rock music on big stages, and look where I am now. And so if I can just be that person for someone, that's kind of what we aim to do.
Okay. Do you name your fans, like Beyonce calls her fan with the Beehives? Do you name your fans? Do you have a name?
So we've thought about it, but, like, we just don't know. We don't know what it would be. Like, a lot of people have things that go with the name, but I don't know what Abby K goes with. Abby Kayers? That doesn't make sense.
My kissers out there. No, DJ. But you got time.
You got time, yeah, eventually. And now I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, which could you name them?
yeah. So, let me think. So, who would you most like to collaborate with in the future?
Lizzie Hale. Ooh. Lizzie Hale is the singer of Hailstorm, one of my all-time favorite bands, modern hard rock. Mm-hmm. I've met her before. I did cry when I met her. It was very embarrassing. But she is such a genuinely cool, nice person. And her music is just so influential to me and my sound. And so I think if we could collaborate on something, I think it would work very well.
Wow. Mm. That's nice. So if you could open a show for any artist, who would that be?
Iron Maiden. I'm talking about all these times I'm crying. Man, the first time that I saw Iron Maiden live, I cried like a baby the whole entire show. Like the whole 2-hour show. I was there with my dad, and I was just crying. Iron Maiden and Hailstorm are my two favorite bands. So if I could work with Lizzie and if I could open for Iron Maiden, my life would be complete.
Amazing. You'll get there. You will get there for sure.
I hope so.
Can I suggest on tour when you go, make sure you take a lot of tissue? You're doing a lot of crap. I need a box of Kleenexes.
Tissues and eyeliner.
Yeah.
Have you given a thought of, you know, if you had another career path, like, what would it be? Like, if for some odd reason, you know, you decided to go a separate way, or maybe just, you know, decided to be a musician and something else, what would that something else be?
I would be an astronaut or a pilot, because I love outer space, love flying. I fly quite a bit in this career. And it's so much fun. I love looking out the window and seeing, oh, look at all these clouds. I don't know. I would probably be a very distracted pilot because I would be looking around, oh, it's so pretty, and like miss the landing. Yeah, it wouldn't be good. But that's what I would want to do if I didn't do this.
So you're going to have your own private jet soon. So you're going to be doing a lot of flying. So
there we go.
That's the goal.
There we go.
Have your private jet where you're sitting there taking selfies, mm-hmm. sitting there with Zach and the boys in your private jet.
No more sleeping in the van. It's like we're just gonna sleep on our private plane.
Or in the bath.
So nice.
Yes.
So what's next, Abby K?
Well, I leave for the tour in 12 hours.
Okay. So get your red. Well, that's not good for you. Get your grade. Get your green tea. Get some healthy snacks and stuff. So You know, you don't need that Red Bull and things like that. So get some healthy energy.
Yeah, we have like a shoe holder that has like the pockets in it. We have one of those in the trailer that we're using for like our snacks. We have emergency in there for our vitamin C.
Nice.
We have throat coat tea. So yeah, we have, we're probably going to put like some popcorn in there too.
Oh, yeah.
We play till 1 a.m. We need late night snacks, but we got the healthy stuff too.
Okay. And the deck of cards, right?
Yep.
Cards and things. Monopoly. So learn how to control and the money and stuff. So that's a great game. I play that with my grandson now. So that's a good game to play. Yep.
Who wins?
Huh?
I was saying, who wins?
Well, he's starting to learn because you know me. So, but he's like, you just went past my house, Grandma. You need to give me my money. I'm like, I created a monster because he's steady watching.
Yep. That's good. Monopolizing. You got to learn how to control that money before it controls you. Yeah. So.
Yes. How much are you going to give me if I clean up my bathroom? I'm not using anything. It's your bathroom. If you want to go in a dirty bathroom, Jacob, you can go in. I'm not paying you to clean up your own bathroom. So what advice would you give to a future leading lady starting a career in music industry?
Honestly, this goes for any industry. A lot of people are going to tell you no. A lot of people are going to tell you that you're crazy. There's no way you can do that. Why do you even think that that's possible? And don't react. Just say, okay, thank you. Thank you for your opinion and prove them wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I love proving people wrong. Like that sounds like so bad, but like, that's my favorite thing. That's where my motivation comes from. When somebody says, wait, you really think that you're going to be able to do that? Let me show you.
That's the best way to do it.
I mean, I could say, I could react and then make a fool of myself, be all emotional and dramatic, cause a scene. But if I just calmly say, okay, thank you, and then just prove them wrong.
And then now getting to the point where you feel like you, besides your parents, you don't even want to tell people your dream because you're surrounded by people that are dream killers, right? So you just do it instead of talking about it.
Yep. That's something that I've learned. You don't talk about what you're going to do. You talk about what you've done.
Oh, woo! Can you say that again? Say that again.
You don't talk about what you're going to do. You talk about what you have done.
You heard that, Joel?
Incredible. Mic drop.
Stop telling me you're going to come to lunch with me. You had the lunch.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome.
So I can keep you here all day, but I know you have to go on tour. So so tell us where our listeners can find your music, follow, and learn more about you.
So you can find me on all social media at Abby K Rocks. My website is abbykrocks.com, and I have music out on every streaming platform, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music under Abby K.
Wow. You got that, Joel?
I got that. Abby, you are a powerhouse. Honestly, that's awesome. The fact that you're about to leave to tour, but you just wanted to get a quick little podcast in before that. That's incredible. It just shows you're on the grind, your tenacity. So
yes.
Keep it going. Yeah.
My little saying is always on the grind. No days off, always on the grind. So I've been living by that for years and years and years and years and years.
Yep.
Always no days off, always on the grind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you don't get wealthy sleeping, right?
Right.
It's very true.
Yeah, but then you can get wealthy where you can, when you have money, making money for you, and then you can get up when you're tired of sleeping. That's wealth.
Right.
So that's what
when you do have the opportunity to sleep, sleep, because it is healthy for you. Even if it's in the bathroom. A power nap.
Nothing wrong with that. Joe, do you have any more questions or anything that's...
No, I mean, you answered all our questions. You inspired us. You moved us. You shared your platform so we could all check out your music and just rock on with it. And I'm excited to hear more of your music and your upcoming album as well. Very, very excited for that. Yeah.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wish that I had asked you, Abby Kay?
I don't think so. I think we covered just about everything.
Yeah, because I asked a lot of questions, right? So, one last question. What is your favorite podcast?
This one.
Hey.
Did I say the right answer? I hope so.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
This one. What? Where are you at? Do you know where you are? What podcast you on right now? What is it called?
Leading Ladies Podcast.
Hey.
Abby Kay. Oh my goodness. I am so excited. I wish I could come on tour with you and help out because I'm good with management. But yeah. I gotta stay here and work and go to work. So, but I'm good luck on the tour. God bless. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I will be following you on social media, the journey of the tour. I mean, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to my stuff too. So I'm just gonna put that out. but have fun. Just have fun. That's what I'm going to say. Have fun, Abby Kay. Enjoy the process so that you can look back at these milestones and you can celebrate. So I just want to say congratulations. Congratulations,
so, Abby Kay. You're killing it.
Thank you. She is killing it. She is. So I'm just going to close out this exciting podcast. We had fun with Abby Kay today. And I want to tell our viewers, I'm just so stoked right now. So Abby, again, I want to thank you so much for being our leading lady this week. We hope this conversation was as enlightening to our audience as it was to us. So please feel free to come back and join us again in the future.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, and thank you everyone for tuning in this week. Please be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram at leadingladies_podcast. Also, please don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can see Abby Kay at Leading Ladies of the Past, Present, and Future for new videos every Monday. Until next time, take care, everyone.